Aleluya. Amén. I thank God for your life, and I thank God for giving me the grace to be here. You might not know why you're here, completely in the midst of this kind of weather, but in your heart, you will not need to answer the question. That's why you're here. Because Matthew said, why do I come? You're here because unconsciously you know why you have to be here. It's not for money. It's not for show. It's not for entertainment. It's not a social club. It's a lifestyle God has called us to live with Him, for Him, and Him through us. This morning, the Lord is just putting emphasis on one word. I believe that is going to be tied a lot to where God is leading us this year, and I'll tell you why. And that one word is destiny. 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 You see, a man leaves his house and his family and he says, I want to be a police officer. Because he looks around and he sees the problem that lawlessness causes and the devastation. Maybe they've been robbed or injustice, something has been done. A family member, and it's like, I want to be a police officer. I want to stop this. I want to contribute to the solution. So he goes to the police academy, gets training, and he becomes a police officer. Amen? Yeah. Now, as a police officer, from completely somebody that didn't know what police people do and their training, whenever there is a crisis in a home or in a city or in a community, they are running with speed to the crisis while others are running away from it because they've been trained to address the situation. Thieves come, neighbors are hiding, everybody's hiding because they are hearing gunshots. Police run there. Firemen. Somebody, I know a fireman that lost a child because they could not get her out of the building on time, and the rest of them escaped, and one of the children died. He made up his mind. All that the job he had, says, "No, I will be a fireman. I want to save lives." So he became a fireman. So he had to go to training. Probably if he was a fireman, he would have saved his life. But he didn't have the experience. He had to run from fire. He became a fireman. So now what happens now that he's a fireman? The building is burning. People are in there screaming. They've called him. They have been trained. They have the equipment. They have everything. And they run right into the fire or right into the building. Right, they come to the scenarios, sounding the alarm. This way, we are here to solve the problem. like others are running out and running away. We can go on and on the paramedics. Emergency situation, somebody, family, they could not do the right CPR and all the things, and the person died. These are the paramedics. I don't want another person to die. I want to be so. Becomes a paramedic, and then your heart is into it. And they run when there's a crisis. And maybe it's so many lives to get them to the hospital before it's too late. They're resuscitated. The military has different arms. And somebody leaves their home one day and says, I want to join the military. Have no absolute knowledge of what gun looks like. Thought it was a machine gun or a bomb. They leave their home and go through a massive intensive training. And they are recruited and they are empowered and they come under the rules of the military. But before then, they sign a lot of things. And they go into the military. And they defend the nation, they fight, they kill, they defend, they fight, and some of them ultimately lose their lives. Firemen lose their lives, some of them. The police, some of them lose their lives because. But these people knew what they were getting into. They counted the cost of it, and they knew exactly what they were going into. They have written and signed the dotted lines because they knew what they were going into is dangerous, but they are in it to save lives. And if they die in the course, they already know the sign. In the Bible, there are three incidents that different people were called out of something into serving God. Their names were changed for a reason. For example, Abraham was changed to Abraham for a reason. Jacob was changed to Israel for a reason. And then we all remember the popular one, Saul of Tarsus. Was in the church, but under pressure he became the enemy of the church. Who he really was in the heart came out. And then when he encountered Christ, he was engrafted into a Christ-like nature. And his name was changed to Paul. Peter was the same thing. These examples I gave to you are just to help us before we go into the world this morning. To start preparing our minds to understand destiny. In the book of Romans chapter 8, this a word Paul used to describe 911. Today we call it 911. All these people I mentioned to you, they respond to emergency. They respond to crisis in an emergency situation. Yes, we were born to give solution at the cost of their lives. So Paul in Romans 8 uses a statement to describe heavenly crisis on earth. First, in Ezekiel chapter 20 verse 31, God himself revealed that there are situations in the earth that require a 911 solution. And heaven is looking at the earth. Who will stand in the gap? Who will go for us? Who will make up the hedge? Who will stop what the enemy is trying to do to destroy us? I said, I found one. But in Romans chapter 8, the New Testament describes, Paul describes it this way. He says the earth, the people, the world is groaning They are in crisis. They are crying for the manifestation of His love. Just like you call 911 for the police, you call 911 for, because you are in a situation, you don't have a solution, you don't know what to do. The Bible says the world, they are groaning because they are crying, they are groaning to God, and they are crying, but they don't know they are groaning. But God is the one groaning, the earth, everything is groaning. And but what Paul revealed by the mystery God gave to him was the purpose of the cry, the unspoken tears, unspoken words of the situation of the earth, families, situation, tormented, going through all this devastation. He says they are crying, not knowing they are asking for God, for children of God to show up, for the sons of God to be with them. You see, the examples we give right now are firefighters and that. That is on the human level as an example. But in the things of the earth and the things people go through, this world is not governed by nature. It's a spiritual world, but you just don't see it, that rules the physical world. There is nothing in the physical that originates from the physical. It's all determined by our own thinking. So when we are born again, we are now being grafted out of the physical mindset, the physical world, the physical way of solving problems or understanding problems. Now we've been grafted into the kingdom of God through Christ. Now that we are in the kingdom, we are now to understand some things. And it also lies in the word destiny. Destiny. Even God Himself is crying to the church. Who will wake up? Who will understand why, who they are, so they can answer, they can respond to the condition of the people? Before we open scriptures very soon, I want to give you one example so that you have that in your mind. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 3 that the children of Israel were groaning. They were in that situation, just like the world. Your neighbors, people around here are groaning. The nations are groaning. And people are groaning. You see it manifest in different ways. Just so you don't know that there are certain pain that cannot be spoken when you see it in the life of the people. The lifestyle we see today is not. It's a statement of the condition of people's tears. Unsolvable situation. A lot of the problems today in marriages, a lot of the suicides that is rampant among women, alcoholic, whatever you call it, mental, name it, it's not what the statistics show that it is doing. They are crying, but they don't know who to cry to. But God is telling us in the Bible, they are crying for the church to know who they are. We're not here to solve just physical problems if we don't deal with the root, which is spiritual. So, we are, by the grace of God, God wants to address destiny. But you can be in church all your life and never be a solution to. It's all about people solving the problem when you have already been given a platform for solution. Because heaven is here. Now, let me tell you why it's important for you to pay attention to these few weeks talking about destiny. The Lord spoke very clearly that In the last days, a lot of people will take you unawares, and they will not know when this starts happening, and they cannot control it. They want us ahead of time. So that we are not ignorant, he gives signs, things to watch for in every generation, especially the generation that we live in. Not the one that is asking, but the one we live in. So, he warned us. Just like the weather channel, I remember in Katrina and all the various old kids that came. God has given man technology and they're able to see the weather patterns from a very long distance, and the thing is building and building until it becomes a category 5 hurricane and stuff like that, and they're able to determine the direction of where it's coming and start warning people ahead of time. I remember when this started a few years ago, a lot of people just felt, oh, they just ignored. And it cost a lot of damage. And they were not ready because of ignorance. Life's not because of ignorance. We are living in a generation where there's so much signs everywhere, warning us, calling us to really, really pursue destiny. Because sons and daughters of destiny are not determined by crisis. Crisis promotes them. I wish you hear the word of the Lord. Study this Bible. There is nobody in this Bible that understood or lived out of destiny that were not promoted by crisis. They thrived in crisis. Not that they are not affected or disturbed or shaken, but crisis prepared for becomes an answer, they become a solution. You all heard about Noah, Joseph, and what you like. That prepared ahead of time. Especially in the New Testament, God doesn't want us to be overtaken by crisis because of lack of preparation. The signs are screaming at us. Wake up, you are a believer. Wake up, you are a Christian. Wake up and position. Wake up and prepare yourself. But still, we are just. It's like a movie. You see, as we read the scriptures, why God wants to prepare us. Actually, the word he dealt with is saying, prepare this house now. That's a familiar thing that you already know. And I'll keep repeating it because it's happened and we are all witnesses. Many people have not recovered from COVID until today. We all knew what COVID did. We all are witnesses of what is happening in Russia today. It has affected the whole world. We're not seeing it, but it's affecting the shape of the world. It has affected deeply the relationship between China, Russia, and America. Everybody is preparing for the face of nuclear war. It's in the news. We saw what is happening in Israel and see where it's going and what is happening. All these things have not reached home to us. But you don't have to come to us before we hear the signs of the time. But the reason the Lord wants to emphasize on destiny, who you are, is because as things progress in this world, you will not live by fear. Because you prepared. You were born for this moment. You were in the world for this time. And God is not the God. Amen. So we are beginning, I don't know how the Lord will lead us, because things come about destiny. So first, let's look at what is destiny. From the book of Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 4 says, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, verse 5, before I formed thee in thy belly, that's for everyone, I knew you. God says, I know you. I knew you before you were formed. God, you're a spiritual being, the soul. I knew you. And then, before thou camest forth out of the womb. Amen? My niece here is pregnant. A baby is still in the womb. While the baby is still in the womb, he says, I set you apart. I sanctified you. Then he continued. And then I ordained you. Meaning I have created and established a purpose for you. And for Jeremiah, it says, made you a prophet, my voice to the nations. This principle applies to every Christian. The only people that don't know this are unbelievers. When I was an unbeliever, I don't have a clue about it. I just thought life was hard. Let me just work hard, school hard, and live well. And just have children grow up and then that's it. But we are not here to maintain the same ignorance we are as the world. Here God is saying, nobody came into this world, regardless of how you came, without a purpose. Amen? And that purpose, we're going to see very soon, is to be a solution. After you receive solution. So, that is very clear. That's self-interpreting. Now, I want to quickly, before we read, let me read something, because just to qualify what I just said about crisis and we go. I don't want you to think Christians don't go through things and we don't go through struggles, we don't suffer things. No. Let me read something just to let you know what I mean by crisis. Crisis. Destiny. Let me read in Romans chapter 8. Verse 31. Just, I got ahead of myself because this was part of our conclusion. But I want to qualify the way Paul looked at crisis. From verse 31. Destiny, because it's a man of destiny. From 31, said, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, that's destiny, you see, verse, who can be? If God is for you, the one who created all things, the devil and every problem, all the things that is allowed, he says, if I'm for you, who can be against you? Then Paul went further to explain. He says, verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him, his son, freely give us all things? Verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Verse 34. Who is he that will condemn you? It is Christ that died. Yes, rather, that is risen again from the dead. Amen. Yeah. Then verse 35. No, verse 34. Who is he that condemned? It is Christ that died. Yes, rather that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God? Who also makes intercession for us? Who shall separate you, us, from the love of Christ? It's a question. Then he mentioned the things we can face. The things that are here. So we're not exempted. But he said, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or dangers, perils or war, which is sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Meaning we go through more. That the world will go through. Say no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Then He put emphasis on this power of destiny. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death, the fear of death or dying or death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature thing shall be able to separate us from the Lord. This is God's word and promise to destiny, children of destiny. You remember everything the enemy tried to do to Joseph. The moment Joseph got a glimpse of his destiny and started connecting with God pertaining to destiny, every evil, the God worked it out and took him. Everything the devil did, God kept talking into his promotion. Until he was so promoted that he ruled over the hell. We cannot have God and come in the life. There is only one God. It can never be two. And the reason is God is He's in control of everything. So if He says that for you, we must understand His needs. But He has a requirement. Amen? Amen. It can't be for you if you're not living for Him. So let's look at this. Jeremiah said, God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you. And He created you and sent you for that reason. So that's clear. Amen? That's just what somebody is. God's plan for your life. Now, let's look carefully to let you know why this emphasis on God's plan, God's will for your life. Because I want to show you really quickly that there are other things that fight against God's plan for your life. Let's open quickly to John chapter 1. There are other things that contend, because that's why if you think it's just easy to wake up, eat pizza, go to work, come back, eat pizza, sleep, and work in this place. He doesn't work. In the beginning was the Word, John 1. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Amen? In Him was life, and the life was the life of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness cannot come. Let's jump to 11. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Amen? Now listen to this from verse 12. But as many as received Him, Akim, Akai. To them, he gave, to them gave he what? Power. My brothers and sisters, Christian living needs power. You can't be a Christian without power. And God has given it to us. To them gave he power to become what? Sons of God. Listen to what sons of God means. Even to them that believe on his name. Listen to verse 13. Sons of God, to them that believe, verse 13, which were born not of what? Blood, the old bloodline, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. My. But of what? The will of God. So we are born of the will of God. Now that we are born of the will of God, how do we manifest destiny? How do we walk in destiny? So, we now come to this principle that God is using to help me this year to focus. And I pray he's helping you to take it. Let's simplify the things that he's teaching us. So in going into destiny, we want to look at the word why. Amen? Let's look again at the word why. I hope by now I think everybody understands this principle. W-H-Y. This is what now God is helping me to insert into everything. To help me, if I can understand why, then it helps me to really give my best in how. Why destiny? Why must we walk in destiny? Why must we pursue destiny? Why must we pursue God's plan for us? Why must we live for God's plan? Why destiny? Why? After I'm born again. Why? It's very important. Because if you understand the importance, and look at it very soon, then you see how. Amen? And the thing I love about God is not a taskmaster. Amen? The thing I love about God is he's always saying, whomsoever we are. So if you're going to understand the why, then somebody here is going to say, me, I, that whomsoever. So that's what we can be in church. You can hear the message, you can come, you can dance, but everybody's not working at the same level. Everybody's not working at the same level of authority, power, understanding. Everybody's not operating at the same level. Why is God is generous to all, holds back nothing for all, but whosoever will, there's no limit. So why destiny? Why destiny? So let's look at why the destiny. And then somebody here might say, okay, God, I am your. I am going to. I understand why. I answer the call. So now, tell me how to live our destiny. So let's look at some why destiny. How we live on it. So let's go to Romans chapter 8. I'm really thankful for our media people. It's so helpful. And my great teacher, the one is helping me. Romans chapter 8. Let's start from verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmity. Amen? This is our weaknesses, our inability, our limitation when it comes to the place of praying. Amen? Likewise, the Spirit also helps our weakness, our limitation. You know, for we know not what we should pray for as we what? Who of us can claim that we are expert in prayer? But there's one who is perfect, 100% expert, and is talking about everything. He knows your life, he knows everything, and he knows prayer and answers. So he said, likewise, the Spirit also helps our humanity, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So the Holy Spirit helps us in prayer. Amen? While I hold my finger there, Jesus also taught us how to pray. And in the prayer of the Lord's Prayer, the prayer of destiny is totally organized. Get to that as we go into this. Verse 27. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. That's God who searches the mind of the Spirit. He says, because he makes intercession for the saints. Now that we're believers, for the saints, according to what? According to destiny, according to God's plan for you personally, according to what God has already seen, knows about you, the Spirit is praying it for you so that you, like God told Jeremiah, you'll be able to fulfill that purpose for which you are here. The Spirit helps us. The saints, according to the will of God, when you see the will of God, God's plan, God's destiny for us. Now, verse 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good for them that what? Love God. To them that who? First of all things work together for good for them that love God. Basically, when the Spirit of God, you are submitting to that are praying the will of God in your life, not my will, but your will. Not my will, but your will. When you pray the will of God, you will see very soon, pray the will of God, or the Spirit is helping us pray the will of God. He says God works things for God. Why? Because there are things that begins to happen to us, or circumstances, or situation that stand contrary to the will of God, that probably sometimes the will of the flesh or the will of man, or things that, but now that we are praying the will of God and the Spirit is helping us, God begins to get us out of this situation. Like Joseph, like all these people in the Bible, you will see how God took them out of things and brought them through things and later brought them, they finished with God and they fulfilled their lives. Another thing again to understand about the plan of God. Even Jesus went through a situation before he left this world. He was the prayer he has prayed, and the will of God for him is to get to the cross. The cross was his final assignment as a man. But when that's the will of God. But when he was going to go through it, he was like, is there no other way? In the flesh, Jesus saw the plan of God in the flesh. So that's why praying the will of God, things are not always going to go the way you want. And that's why faith is required. Jesus finally says, okay, God, Father, not my will, but your will. And the will of God is destiny, God's plan for you. God's ultimate plan for you, we're going to read it very soon, success in this world. Whether you have money, you don't have money, you have this success. So let's look at this. all things work together for good. For good, for them that love God. To them who are what? Called according to his what? Now, let's read about Destiny 29. For who he, that's God, did foreknew. Everybody remember Jeremiah? For whom God foreknew, he knew you before time. He also did predestine to be what? Conformed to the image of his son. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 30. For who, moreover, whom he did predestine, then he also what? Called. And then whom he called, then he also what? Justified. And whom he justified, then he also what? Glorified. Then look at where we started from. We ended last. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be? Meaning, when you're walking in destiny, your life is good. God will turn every situation for God, no matter what it's like. Who see that as God is see? So let's look at the why from this place after we're born again. Go back to us. Start from 29. For whom God foreknew, God had plans for. God set the plans in motion. He's already finished. God says it's already prepared. It's finished. The plan is finished. But it's now depending on you to say, God, your will be done. Your will be done. I pray for your will. Living for your plan. Whatever you prepared for me, that's what I want. If that's your prayer, then God will begin to align situations. The first foundation for why is for you. God will work things first for you to know who you are, your identity. Here it says, the first thing is to be conformed to the image of what? His son. The first thing God deals with is your character. Because the character you came out of from the world is all about you. It's all about where you're coming from, what you've been, and what you can do. But the first thing God does is he begins to keep that character. Let's let me put it this way for illustration. Maybe here is an apple tree. Amen? The apple tree produces a different kind of fruit, character. It's a fruit. And you want to be an orange tree. Yeah, you know, born again, you're orange. So now, when you are cut off of the orange tree and you're grafted to the apple tree, it is the root that supplies. Because the DNA of the seed of that tree came from the root system. The orange produces orange, whether you like it or not. Sorry, the apple is here, produces apple. Every year in, year out, it produces apple. That's the character. Amen? So when you are taken out of the apple tree and you are grafted into the orange tree, the root, like we grafted from, the root system produces, that branch, when it's now submitted to the vine, eventually will start producing what? Orange. Fruit. Because it's the root. Like, Romans 11 talks about, we were grafted out of the world and we were grafted into Christ as sons of God. We cannot continue to produce the fruit of the culture, the system, the heart of the world, which is all focused on me, mine, and my way. To everything about this tree is about you. You, that's love. It's not about self. So this tree is about self. You cut it, you bring it here. So that branch is not going to produce orange overnight. It has to first get applied. It has to first be grafted until the sap of the orange takes into that new and pour purges the old sap from the apple tree, and before it can produce orange. So when we come out of the culture, the ways of the world, the first thing God wants is fruit. Character is what makes you a Christian, not what you preach, what you say, and the gifts you have. It's character. And the character of a believer is very clear. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
So the first thing God wants to do, the moment you walk in destiny and you pray the prayer of destiny, God wants you to know your son. And to begin to adopt the character that fits the life of Christ. That Christ will be the first born among men. That's the first. So now as you're praying that, you're living that. So the first thing, why it's important to pray and to live for destiny is one, your identity. That's what Jesus told them in Matthew chapter 16. Who do men say that I am? I'm not the kids. I'm not the apostle. I'm not all this miracle. I'm not one of those. I am the Son of God. That's why I'm here. So that when I die, that seed will produce more life. Let me ask you a question. Is this simple enough so far? Okay. Everybody can say yes, but I hear you. Number two. It's all in this scripture. First, you are called, the first thing to work on as a believer is character. A change in the situation. That Jesus might be the first example of all sorts of new life. Number two. Moreover, whom he did predestine, then he what? Call. Number two is calling. 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 If you look at all through the Bible, very few people answer their call. Because first, they don't know who they are. To be called. Let me be honest with you about calling. Everybody's not called to preach in the pulpit. Everybody's not called to be a fireman. Everybody's not called to be a police. Everybody's not called to be pressing the back. Everybody's not called. Everybody's not the hand. Everybody's not the leg. Everybody's not the head. Everybody's not the toe. There is a calling that God has ordained. And that calling is already been prepared before you were born to be a solution right now in this world. That calling is already been ordained, meaning it's been prepared. There's a special anointing that will be upon you when you answer that calling. If you find that it's not your talent, it's not your gift, but by answering that call, God begins to use you, anoint you, empower you, and no demon can stop you because your calling is very good before you. Goes with you. The approval of God is for you. Your calling. You can be called like that at what you can. You can be a calling to you just a calling. But one of the ways first you begin to understand calling is you must know who you are. Amen? Once you answer your calling, you'll be amazed how everything works for you. Everything that is against you will strengthen you. Everything that stands in your way will become a ladder you win. Like Paul says, no matter what happens, God gives you a conquering spirit. Because it's no more you now. Driving the world, your calling is in agreement with God's will for you, and God is moving your life past for you. First of all, you must know who you are, the Son of God, and go with your character. Number two, you must understand you have a calling in your life. If you're in the body, you are something. Amen? Some of us don't like to be the heart because nobody sees the heart. So school who just like to do the face. Everybody see me, see me. If it's not your calling, it's a problem. If you're not meant to be seen, your heart is devoted to God, but nobody sees it. Amen? If you don't have the tool, you can't walk, but that's the wrong walk. Nobody likes you. Anybody likes to be a tool? But if God has called you to be the most, without it, you can't wait. That's why calling, you can't be seen. Amen. Then, let's listen. Now, moreover, whom he did predestine, then he also called. And whom he called, then he also what? Justified. Amen. God will defend you, God will vindicate you, God will approve you. Ask Joseph, ask Moses, ask David. And then who be justified, he also was glorified. Amen. Meaning, you will not leave this world without getting to the top. Without fulfilling, without people saying, this man left a footprint for generations. Because. And then the final glorification is, enter into the joy of the Lord. You will finish what was said to you. You will come out of the Lord. So, then qualifying, if God before us, you can then. Okay, for the few minutes we have left, we just looked at one aspect of the why. You can see the destiny. Why destiny? So how? If you are choosing to be the who there, whomsoever, you can say yes, but if you don't leave the how, it's not you, it's not going to work for you. So when you leave out the how, then God begins to justify that you have answered the call. And your life will become a solution. Anywhere you are, any field you're working, anywhere, whether any engineering, whether mechanic, whether McDonald's, anywhere, you are a solution, you are a light, the fruits of faith. So, how? Today, we're not going to go into the details, but I want to point to you how. Amen? There are so many ways to pursue destiny, but just four major ways. If you leave it, it's like a tree, you plant a seed, you know, all you do is pour water, the sun is there, pour water, take out the grass, the tree grows on its own. You just water it, you plant it, it grows, it becomes a branch, it grows, brings forth fruit. You don't do any other thing, you just water, take the grass off, water. So these four things is what it does for our destiny. The Holy Spirit takes this purpose and takes us on this journey. Number one is the Word of God. This is GPS. Everybody said the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Amen? We were born by this. Meditate. If you don't know what is here, you don't know. So first, the first thing is to meditate, to study this, to meditate, first to know what is the will of God, what is not the will of God. You know, coming here every day, somebody trying to convince you not to live by sin, not to ask God forgive you, to live, we're deceiving ourselves. Like you look at the mirror, you go back. No. When you read this, you can make a decision. Amen? This is the will of God. Amen? How many of you have a rich father in this place? And you do. A rich mother. Amen? And they pass. They are going to pass. You know what they do? They write a will. Amen? They write a will. You own this, you own this, you own this, you own this, you have this, you have this, you have this. If you don't read the will, you don't know what is there, you will still be riding bicycle thinking, that's what you have. Amen? This is God's plan. This is everything is here. The position of the devil is here, and people are always promoting the devil. The position of humanity is here, the position of the sons of God is here. And my people perish for lack of knowledge. So the first is the will of God. Amen? The second is prayer. Whosoever. Pray. God, Jesus says, you have to ask. You have to ask. You have not, you have not, you see, not. Ask. You have to say, God, I want your will. You got to pray. You don't have to be a super prayer warrior, but just let God know that this is your desire. This is what you want. And you pray. It's a lifestyle of daily devotion with God until you get to know. Number three. Number one, the word of God. Number two is prayer. Number three is wait on God. Wait. I have found out another word for that wait is worship. Everything you go through in life, God says all the promise of God comes with faith and patience. It's not. One of the most powerful attributes of God's love is like waiting, patience. A lot of marriages, a lot of situations, a lot of jobs, a lot of things we face today, our patience has been torn and torn and scattered. And especially if it's gospel. If it's not gospel, that's it. Waiting on God is a secret. The greatest secret I found is a key that David is coming. So number one is the will of God, the Bible, the word. Number two is what?
Prayer.
Prayer. And when you pray, your will be done on earth as it is. Your will be done in my life as it is in heaven. Jesus called that. Number three is what?
Wait.
My life has been saved a lot from waiting. We'll look at that. We'll look at these things in another teaching. Then number four, the last one, is obedience. We are always going, going, going. If we wait, God will clarify some things. But if we don't wait, things don't clear, we go through a lot of, but later it will bring us back, like a GPS to the detail. But if we wait, we hear. We hear when we wait, and then we obey. Amen? Those four things is like watering a garden, watering a tree. It will bring fruit. It's fruit in this season. It will grow branches, it will grow fruit, it will multiply, it will fulfill. So this morning, I want to pray, and I want to agree with you for living a destiny profile, God's plan. If you want that, if you believe in that, I was feeling led to for us to come out here, but we don't have to do that. We just have to stand. If you want to pray that God will. You today, you want to commit your life to live for God, to pursue these four things as a lifestyle, and let God, the Spirit, take it to live for destiny. Please stand. Thank you. Thank you. I just want to pray. That's one of the mountains of my friend's house. The moment you come to this house, you will be arrested by this. Bless you, Lord. You make all things beautiful in your times. Lord, please show me every day as you're teaching me your way, that you do just what you say in your time. In your time, in your time, in your time. You make all things beautiful in your time. Lord, please show us every day as you're teaching us your way, that you do just what you say in your time. Father, by reason of everyone standing in your presence, our hands are lifted before you, our hearts are yielded. You see your heart. Father, today I bring before your presence. I stand in agreement with his voices and with his heart. But I say, yes, Lord. Now I am born by your will. I want to live according to your will. I want to walk in that which you prepared for me before I was born. That my eyes will see it, my ears will hear it, and I will fulfill the purpose for which I am. So, Father, today I thank you. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for the anointing, the empowerment, the grace to meditate on your word, to search the scriptures that your children has committed to, even some to finish this Bible in this year, or some of it. Father, I thank you for the grace, the hunger, the thirst to know your will. To know your will. Father, I thank you for the grace and the desire to pray your will. Father, I thank you for the grace after prayer to wait patiently, to hear, to have clarity. Father, I thank you for the grace of your name. And I thank you, wonderful Holy Spirit. Take your people and lead us. Be our GPS. In the domains of 2024, at the end of the year, we will have testimony and bring glory and honor to your name. Thank you. Have your way. Give you all the glory, all the praise. Turn around situations here. Turn it for good. Everything that has been contrary, even to this point, I pray as your people say, yes, Lord, that you begin to move on their behalf, that you begin to manifest. Father, that you will begin to take what the enemy meant for evil. You begin to turn. Thank you that you have us. And I thank you both on behalf of the children. In Jesus' name.